This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. Some breaking news. Michael Thomas of the Saints has reportedly agreed, to a five-year deal worth $100 million. He's now, if that is accurate, the highest-paid wide receiver in the NFL. Julio Jones of the Falcons, tick, 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 tick. You're now on the clock to get your deal done. All right, Dave Preston, WTOP, joins us, a good friend of mine, and we're going to talk some Redskins as we continue our daily previews. Progressive Insurance Hotline is where we go for Dave Preston. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. It's not a sweatbox where I am, which is good. Surprising.
That is really good.
The city was built on a swamp. You know, we lost a president to heat stroke. Who was it, Zachary Taylor, way back when? Some think it was arsenic. I think it was just bad milk and cherries.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, Redskins last year, 6-3 before the Alex Smith injury. Then they go 7-9 the rest of the way. Kind of expect that if you lose your quarterback. But is this really, Dave, a three-way battle for that quarterback position between Keenum, McCoy, and Haskins? How are they looking at that position in camp?
I think they're looking at it as Dwayne Haskins is the quarterback of the future. Obviously, he's their franchise guy moving forward. But will he be ready to start opening day? Is he, just because you're the quarterback of the future doesn't mean you're the quarterback of the present. And that's why they brought in Case Keenum. He's an insurance policy. Before they even drafted Haskins, they had him in as a potential placeholder, perhaps a bridge to next year when they thought maybe they'd be able to get a premier franchise quarterback. Colt McCoy has been a kid. He's been plucky. The coaches love him. He tries and does real well in practice. But every time he's given a starting opportunity, he's been hurt during his career. And when he has been hurt, he's been okay. It's in stretches. He had that one Monday night win against Dallas way back when, but he really hasn't been that good. So I don't think they're expecting. I think the proper order of battle is Case Keenum probably starts the opener, then maybe he gets replaced via ineffectiveness in that early stretch, because they have an early season gauntlet where their first 5 to 7 games, you do not want to put a rookie quarterback in there. They play the Bears at one stretch. They play the Cowboys early. They play the New England Patriots within the first month. Do you think you want to send Dwayne Haskins in against up against whatever Bill Belichick can cook up? Probably not. Once you get past that first 5 to 7 game window, where the schedule is really difficult, if, say, you're 2-5, maybe that's when you start Dwayne Haskins against Miami or somebody along those lines. So I think the plan is in place for, I think, each of these guys will start at least 1 to 2 games this year. Perhaps McCoy starts some games on the back end. Say Haskins plays for 3 or 4 games and they realize, okay, this guy needs a mental break, and they throw Colton, and then he gets hurt 6 quarters in or something like that. I think you're going to see all 3 of these guys play. I think eventually the job is going to be Dwayne Haskins moving forward. Case Keenum probably leaves at the end of the year.
If we use the analogy and the old cliche, keys to the car, I mean, is it possible that the keys to the car, the Redskins, is decent enough that a rookie just can't drive it?
Oh, it's this team has a. What's amazing about the Skins in the last, I guess, 5 to 7 years is that the focus on the quarterback has been such that it kind of takes the spotlight away from everything else and the other issues that they have right now. Trent Williams remains unsigned. If he doesn't come back, my goodness, yes, they're bringing in Donald Penn, who's made the Pro Bowl, but he's 36. They don't have a great team where a quarterback can be the difference maker at this time. Adrian Peterson is coming off a really good year, but he has a lot of tread on the tires. Darius Geis has not been able to stay healthy. The receiving core is pretty much nondescript. So do you want keys to this car?
Right.
this is going to be a team that's going to develop together. Defensively, they have made strides, and they should be much better. Montez Sweat should be a bit of a difference maker defensively. This is a team that should be better defensively, but I think last year, they finished 7-9. Were they a good 6-3 team when Alex Smith got hurt? Not necessarily, because the NFL is such a snapshot league where sometimes a record isn't the true indicator of how good a team is, unlike baseball where it's either there's more resolution because there's 162 pixels. Football, it's just 16 pixels, and sometimes you catch a good team on a bad day or a bad team on a good day. And I think this team has a long way to go. And Haskins, if he does get to start in that first stretch, it could be disastrous for this kid. We've seen so many quarterbacks come to Washington and just get flushed out. I'm talking about Patrick Ramsey way back when. I'm talking about Jason Campbell, who didn't have the right apparatus around him to be successful. Even Robert Griffin III, after some early success, pretty much regressed every single year.
Let's get to Trent Williams. Are they close to, you talk about offensive linemen, and here's Trent Williams wanting a new deal. Are they close? Or are the Redskins looking and saying, if I give him a deal, I'm working on another deal, and I got to work on another deal?
I think you're absolutely right. Ryan Kerrigan's going to want a new deal, and Ryan Kerrigan's been healthier. I think when you look at Trent Williams, is he their best offensive lineman? Yes. But the fact that he's their best lineman isn't mutually exclusive from the fact that he's an aging lineman. He has not played a full season, whether it's been injury or suspension, since, I think, 2013. So, I mean, here's a guy who, okay, yes, you're going to pay him, but in effect, you're already paying him. You've already given him a raise because you're really not paying him for 16 games. You're paying him for the 12 games that he's going to be healthy in.
Yeah.
And I think that and there's also reports that he is reportedly done with management, and we don't know if that's just him maneuvering to get out of Dodge because maybe he sees, okay, this team, even with a decent quarterback situation, this is not a playoff team. I'm getting older. I want a Super Bowl run. I've made a ton of money already, I'm tired of playing for the Redskins. Maybe that's the case. Maybe there's burgundy and gold fatigue.
We talk about Jason Garrett about this in our Cowboys preview yesterday. It feels like Garrett has been on the hot seat forever. I can make that same argument about Jay Gruden. I just feel like all the time we're hearing about Jay Gruden's job security, Jay Gruden's job security. He's been there, it feels like, forever. Where does he stand with the organization? Is this the make or break year that we've been hearing about for a lot of years in the past?
It feels like it should be. Now, last year felt like a make-or-break year, but there were so many injuries, Alex Smith in particular, that he was given a semi, not a free pass, but he was given a semi-pass the year before. Again, tons of injuries. So it felt that 2 years ago it should have been the make-or-break year, but he's better than whatever other moves they could make as head coach. And for the first time ever, Dan Snyder, the owner, and Bruce is a little bit not quick on the trigger, and maybe it's the owner's maturity that he's going to let this thing ride out, play out. But right now, Gruden at least has a quarterback that he drafted, and most of this roster, with a few rare exceptions, and the exceptions are guys who have actually played their way to stay on this roster, like a Ryan Kerrigan and Trent Williams. Most of these guys are players that he's either, if he hasn't handpicked them, he's at least been in the room when they've been drafted. So you look at where this franchise is, back-to-back 7-9 seasons. Before that, they were just an interception away from making the playoffs. Sadly, this is as good as things have gotten for the Redskins in the last 20 years for the most part. They haven't won 11 games in a season since 1991. That is forever times two ago.
Yeah.
They haven't won a playoff game since 2005. There are kids. There was a stretch when I moved to the area where everybody said, oh, this is just maybe a 7 or 8 year hiccup from the glory days of when the Skins were great from 1970 to 1990. Now there are little good hiccups amongst this stretch of just not being relevant, not being a contender, not being able to now sell out your stadium. And you look at Jay Gruden as a guy who has presided over the last 5 years now. That's just amazing for a franchise that has spit out coaches every 2, 3, or 4 years in the last 20 years.
When we talk about players signing with teams, you know, sometimes we say a team overpaid, but I always say if you need a guy badly, you don't overpay. You just get the guy. In that case, Landon Collins, did they overpay, or because Swearinger left, is this a situation where the Redskins had to overpay?
I think this is a case where, yes, they had to, you know, cough up some money, and they got a young guy. They have a guy who's been a Pro Bowler. A guy who will fit into this system, a guy who for at least 2 days of the year two of your 16 games will be extremely motivated to prove that he's worth every cent that you spent on him. And you can't discount that. Guys going up against former teams. He's also familiar with the division as he's from the Giants. So I think it was a good move. Was it a great move? No, but in the NFL now, there are so many bad contracts that you know going into it, but again, you just make it. It's like choosing off the stadium menu. It's like, are you really getting value for the $8.50 nachos? No, but do you want the $9 hot dog? No, you know, do you want the $20, chicken Philly sandwich? I think they wound up getting good value, and I think you can't look at a lot of these signings as dollars and cents. You have to look at them as production over the dollars and cents.
Hey, real curious, the Skins, their training camp is in Richmond, right, Virginia?
Yes, it is.
Is that at a college? Because we were just talking about A.J. Green working out in Dayton. Do they work out at a college, or do they have their own place?
No. It's some sponsor, Bon Secours. I want to say you may very well be enjoying some pharmaceuticals from them this morning. I don't know. But they wound up getting a sweetheart deal there. I think it was 2014 or 2015. I think the deal is going to be wrapping up, if not, I think maybe this year or next, or if not that, the year after. Then I think they're going to move it back in-house. They were able to get the state, or the Commonwealth of Virginia, as they like to call it, coughed up a ton of money. It was a good move for the first year or two because you had a lot of people living down there who didn't get a chance to see the Skins because the Skins fan base traditionally was the entire, the old South. But because there were no teams before the Panthers, before the Falcons, there are still pockets of Skins fans all over there. Virginia, if you go deep into Virginia, there's still a big fan base. And back in the day, they'd come up to RFK or FedEx for their one or two games a year. That fan base has had a chance to see this team in the heat. It's not cold there in Richmond at this time, and so practice has really been kind of last year was really not an exciting time. The crowds were not ideal, so who knows if they're going to stay after this, but it's been nice, I guess, to embrace their fan base down in Richmond the last few years, and the food is great there too.
I always remember you and I going to Rhode Island, all the way to Rhode Island for Patriots camp. Back
yeah,
in the 90s.
It was in like Bryant.
It was like Bryant College. Like that, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah. It's like, hey, it's, wow. If you thought getting to Foxborough from Manchester, New Hampshire was a pain, tack on 20 more minutes. Great.
That's a good. Dave, always good talking to you, my friend. Good stuff on the Skins. We'll catch up with you during the season, my man. Appreciate it.
Thanks again, Tony.
You got it. Dave Preston, WTOP. God, going to Foxborough. People don't get it. Until you've been to Foxborough, it is really amazing how much of a one-road town that is. And it has an NFL team, and not only an NFL team, now the greatest NFL team in the history of the league. And it really is. One road in, one road back out. It's crazy. Oh, my God. It's like 30 minutes from Boston, too. It's like take your town, take your city, like Houston, find a place like 30 minutes away in like this small sort of suburban type of area, and then put the NFL team there. And that's basically how it would be. Any city, any city that's like that. Just go like to some place where it's like, just a bunch of restaurants, just a something off the exit, and put an NFL team there, make it their headquarters. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.